The following program is part of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you ready? I said, are you ready?
The evolution of online sports entertainment stamps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Hail to the King, Benny.
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler, Rob Van Dam. I'm Al Snow.
This is Stampede Kid T.J. Wilson.
This is Harry Smith.
This is third generation female superstar, Natty Neidhart.
Hi, this is Christy Annie.
This is Lacey Von Erich.
Hi, everybody. This is good old J.R. Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
With your host, Tim Stein.
I'm the boss.
You will bow to me.
Spud.
Let's face it. Most of you don't like me.
Will.
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want.
Mace.
I am super in everything I do.
And the Omega.
I'm half man, half amazing. I am better than you.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, baby.
It up, TNA's gonna burn it down. I guess money it ain't nothing, cause I burn it down. Front to back, TNA, watch it burn it down. Mommy drop it low, I love the way she turn around. We don't need no water, TNA's gonna burn it down. We don't need no water, Major James gonna burn it down. We don't need no water, cause Filthy gonna burn it down. I burn it down, burn it, burn it, burn it down. I'm jumping up in the spotlight, what the fuck? I wear my baggy shirts just to keep my grilly tucked. Henny Cranberry Mac Daddy fill my cup. Plus a little fine thing like Halle Berry like to touch.
Welcome everyone to another edition of WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We just finished TNA's Hard Justice pay-per-view, and we are all here except for Spug, of course. I am the Omega, of course you know me. I'm joined by Mace.
Oh.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. And, of course, Will.
Woo, woo, woo. You know it.
Yeah, we know it. And, of course, the man himself, Timmy Stein.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Those of you catching the show on our Wild Talk Radio Ustream page, you're missing camera 2. Nothing overly special going on camera 2, but I just thought I'd let y'all know that camera 2 is up and running, and it is showing an absolutely gorgeous t-shirt being worn by yours truly.
That's camera 2.
And that's on our second camera, which is only accessible on the WildTalkRadio.com chat. So if you haven't been to the website, come on over to www.WildTalkRadio.com. Hey, we're going to be talking a little bit of TNA, Hard Justice, or as some people might say, Hardly Justified. We'll get into that in a little bit. Not taking a shot. Well, maybe I was. You never know. We're also going to be doing a little bit of WWE talk tonight. We're going to be talking about the return of D-Generation X, WWE's return to Canada, CM Punk and John Morrison, the Hardy Boys reunion, and, of course, we got the great debate. But to start with, I heard that Will missed the first part of tonight's pay-per-view. Is that true, Will?
I did.
Yeah, I heard that you were blowing your stove. Man, I don't know. That's not something that I would really want to do. I mean, just think about the burns on your lips from that. Why would you blow the stove? That's just...
Well, it depends on who you got the information from.
Yes.
What really happened was my stove, a filament, blew in it, and we were cooking meatloaf, and all of a sudden we hear this buzzing. I look at the stove, me and my mom are both in the kitchen, I'm trying to get some dishes done. I look at the stove, and it's glowing. me and my infinite genius open the stove to look at it, close the lid, turn the stove off. We wait a minute to see it. It starts getting worse to the point where me and my mom just say, fuck it, and haul ass. We ended up knocking the table out of the way and ending up on the dining room floor. Luckily, it tripped the circuit, so it nothing too bad happened. Just, you know, we don't have a way to cook our food anymore.
Yeah, but why would you blow the stove? Omega, does that make sense to you, blowing a stove? I mean, like, if you're looking for sex, I mean, you know, get a call girl.
No, I think he means he blew it up.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes more sense. I mean, yeah, okay. I mean, you just think about it, 9 months later, you'd have a bun in the oven.
Oh.
Ba-dum-ching.
Gee, where'd you think of that one?
I stole
How long of a setup was that?
Yeah, I stole it from a guy named Tyler. I don't know.
Gee, I got to meet him. He sounds like an awesome writer.
Yeah, speaking of which, that means I gotta talk to this guy later on. I need to talk some business with him as far as writing goes. That might be good. But why don't we just start off, and because we've got people tuned in to listen to us recap the TNA pay-per-view, Hard Justice, and I made a smart-ass comment and called it hardly justified, and I'm just being too cool for school here. Let's face it, right now, it's the cool thing to do, and all the cool kids are knocking TNA. There are a lot of positives with the company. There's a lot of shit that I hate, but there's stuff that's, you know, you've got to give them a pat on the back for. Mace, are you in agreement with this?
As much as I'd like to say I am, I'm not. It seems that, you know, they keep going on and on and on and on in chat rooms. You know, I'll give you a quick rundown. Tonight, people know, you know, my affiliation's not just to WrestleTalk Radio, but also to other shows. I just happened to be perusing in their chat rooms tonight, and it seemed like everybody just went flat out bagging anything they could get their hands on. Hell, we have people bagging the crap out of Abyss for what he's wearing. Okay, since when are people who watch wrestling sort of the top of high fashion? But it seemed that tonight the best thing to do was bag the crap out of the show, bag the crap out of the matches without a justified reason.
Well,
you know, Tim, you did say that you do have some good points with the show. I have some good points with the show. Hopefully some of the other guys have good points with the shows. But it seems that tonight the main reaction from the quote-unquote educated fans was the whole show sucked and we don't have a reason for it, so we're just going to be cool and bag the shit out of it.
Well, here's the thing, and I know everybody else wants to chime in on this and say their piece, but it's starting to remind me a little bit. A few years back, it was you know, Triple H bashing. It was the thing to do. You weren't cool unless you said Triple H had his position only because he slept with the boss's daughter, and I did on a few occasions myself refer to him as Mrs. or as Mr. Stephanie McMahon. But you know, for me, that's humorous. I didn't think I was jumping on any Triple H bashing bandwagon. I have a bad tendency to be a little critical and point out the errors of TNA's way, such as you know, the overbooked finishes that they seem to have a penchant for. That being said, there's some innovation, and you got to give them credit for at least they're taking risks.
Yeah, they have been taking risks. As I was talking to some of the guys before the show, they like to take risks on characters. They like to take risks on different styles of matchups and how to push people and everything. ODB is a good example of somebody who is not your normal wrestler and has this very out there gimmick that they're taking the risk on. At least, you know, they're willing to do something different, unlike the WWE, who seems to be booking the same main event for the past 6 months.
But, see, yeah, the problem with ODB is it was going great, and then they threw in Cody Deaner, and now I just wish I had a shotgun.
Yeah, well, I'd agree with you there, Omega. I'm not a big fan of Ladina. But, yeah, again, it's...
Well, that was Will.
Was it Will? Oh, God, this is what I get
for
paying
100%. Oh, great. This could be a long night.
It's already been a long night. Shut up.
What the hell was that?
What the fuck?
Did we add theme music for someone botching a line on the show, or?
Apparently, that was wonderfully random, and whoever played that, thank you very much.
Wow. Okay. For a minute there, I thought Spug had made his grand return to the radio, but okay.
Yes, that's his entrance music.
I think it would fit him.
Alright, so do we want to jump straight into this pay-per-view, sort of get it out of the way?
I think that we should jump right into the pay-per-view. Let's get it out of the way. We've got some stuff to talk about tonight, boy, I'll tell you. Not just the TNA Hard Justice pay-per-view breakdown, but at the end of the show, we're going to get into the great debates, guys. I hope that you all have your picks ready, and you're ready to move the first two tag teams ahead in our great debates, competition?
Let's call it what it is. It's a debate.
There you go. Okay, the great debates debate. That's like saying the all-American American, as opposed to what? The all-Mexican American? How did Rey Mysterio get into this conversation?
Did we all do monkey dances now?
That comes at the end of the show.
That comes at the end of the show, absolutely. So, Mace, you were following along really closely with this pay-per-view, so why don't you dive in?
All right, so we started this off with the Steel Asylum match. Don't really want to get too into it because I spent a lot of my time trying to hunt down a way to watch this pay-per-view because my cable provider decided to screw me around this morning. They didn't want to acknowledge that I wanted to buy the pay-per-view, so I've had to run around like a chicken trying to find other ways that we will not condone on the air. As Will said, bit of a spot fest. Lots of bouncing around, a lot of shit we couldn't really catch because of where the cameras were placed. You know, the WWE seems to be able to get away with a half-decent viewing during a Hell in a Cell match. Why TNA can't do it in this one, we'll never know. The winner, well, before I get into who, I'll tell you who was in it. We had Suicide, Chris Sabin, Amazing Red, Alex Shelley, Jay Lethal, Daniels, and Consequences Creed, and the debut of the Pope, D'Angelo De Niro, otherwise known as Elijah Burke. Sorry, I actually forgot who the hell he was for a second.
We all did.
All right, Will, do you want to give us your thoughts on this match to start off with?
My stove was busy exploding.
Okay, then. Omega, I know you were watching. Or did your stove explode too?
Oh, this match was a blast. But can I
cut in real quick and say, man, Omega, what happened to your mic?
What do you mean?
It sounds particularly ash tonight.
Does it? I can't tell what's going on with it. It kind of hops around from day to day.
It could just be me. Oh well, carry on.
Speaking of us, we just have somebody joined us here today on the Wrestle Talk Radio.
Nice quote. There, nice stealing of the line by Rock there. Can't you come up with your own original material?
No, not really.
Yeah, you fail.
Not as much as you do, Spook.
Really? Really? You want to get into that, buddy?
No, not at this point in time. However, I will ask you one question. Did you see the pay-per-view?
Fuck no. TNA.
Spug TNA does not do up. TNA. Spug does not do TNA.
I don't. I really don't.
Does he do stoves?
No, that we leave that to Will.
I'm not saying anything bad about TNA, Rock. I just said I don't watch TNA. God. Might as well hang up, go back to whatever I was doing.
Were you painting little figurines? What do you call those things? Action figures? No.
No, I was playing WoW.
You guys in your world. Geeky.
That reminds me, got to go do dailies after this. Anyway, back to TNA.
Can you hear that? That's the sound of the show crashing.
Really? I thought it was Will's stove exploding again.
Oh, fuck.
We were in the Steel Asylum match, which was your usual bouncing around, flippy, no-sell X Division match. Anybody who has seen a multi-man X Division match would know exactly what one of these matches is like by now. Your winner in that one, and the new number one contender for the X Division Championship is Christopher Daniels. I'm not going to just call him Daniels, friggin' stupid.
That's the dumbest thing I've done. And no, it's not the dumbest, but it's still pretty fucking dumb.
It's like, hey, we're going to take away three quarters of your name. No, stupid, stupid idea. Next match after that was the $50,000 bounty match between Abyss and Jethro Holiday. That sort of came out of the blue, really. It was literally done last Thursday night, if I remember correctly, the setup for this. Well, getting Jethro Holiday into it anyway.
Can I take this moment to say, when I was watching TNA, I had no fucking clue who Jethro Holiday was.
That was, I don't know, what's his face? Somebody with some wrestling knowledge to take this one.
Trevor Murdoch.
There you go. Well,
I had to wiki
guys.
It, but, you know, that was a terrible way to set up a match. Here, I'm going to hit you with a chair and not at all be obvious as to who I am.
Well, what was the last name they gave him? What was it?
What the fuck are you talking about, Tim?
Trevor Murdoch. They gave him a different name for TNA, right?
Jethro Holiday.
Jethro Holiday. I asked what was the last name they gave. The answer is Holiday. Why Holiday? That's just stupid. Jethro, it fits, but Holiday?
Maybe they're trying to stick with the Western theme, you know, like Doc Holiday.
Oh, God.
He's Canadian.
They did call him the Outlaw.
Hey, you know, I've given up on trying to understand the way TNA names their gimmicks and their booking, so I just kind of go with it.
Yeah.
This is where Tim and I go silent for like an hour and really don't say anything.
Well, you know, for the most part, you're right, but I don't really have much. I don't have much to say about TNA. I had the pay per view on. I was, you know, kind of sort of half following some of it. But the one thing I did notice is what I said at the beginning of the show. You know, the positives about that.
And what were some of those positives, Tim?
Well, you know, there's some innovation going on. They're taking a few risks. They're actually trying things that WWE seems to be afraid to try. And, you know, I'm not going to point out to any one, two, or three...
actual wrestling matches?
Separate things. But, you know, like, if you catch the product at all, you see this. If you can get past the too cool for school phase and just shoot on TNA, because everybody else is.
Look, I'm past it. Everybody wants to blame it because I hate TNA.
That was not a shot directed towards you, Spuck. That was, see, this is what you get for missing the meetings in the first part of the show. Anyway,
I was on Skype. You fuckers didn't call me. Fuck you.
There you go. We're looking at some of the positives, and
somebody's crotchety tonight.
Mace is, I am.
There you go. Mace is going to be pointing out a lot of the positives. So.
Well, I'll point out where the positives are when I can find them. And I actually did find a few of them tonight. But continuing on with what the pay-per-view was doing, the Abyss versus Jethro Holiday was pretty much a, well, I hate to say it, but it's just a standard Abyss match with weapons. Going back and forth, beating the crap out of each other, and in the end, Abyss, the odds, and getting the pinfall. It's not really... I really hate to say this, but for the first part of the show, the matches were very standard. They didn't really deviate too much. Sort of later in the show, they sort of decide that, hey, we're actually going to try some stuff. So with that, we had Abyss retaining... I don't know whether you really call it retaining the $50,000, since it's not really his to begin with. Will, did you have any thoughts on this one?
My stove was still exploding. I didn't show up until around, I think it was Homicide versus Joe.
So you didn't really get into it until about the second half of the show.
Yeah, you know, when it started getting good.
And Omega, I'm going to have to throw it over to you until we get to the points where Will can sort of jump in again.
Yeah, let me apologize for my stove exploding one more time. I would have been there to cover your ass to help you out with this part.
Yeah, all your fault.
So, Omega, you saw the match, hopefully.
Which match is this again?
Abyss versus Jethro Holiday, second match.
Oh, that one. Unfortunately, no, that's the one I missed. I've been quite busy tonight, so I was kind of passively watching the pay-per-view when I could.
Okay, so I pretty much was the only one who caught the entire pay-per-view. How unusual.
Yep.
Gee, it's like I'm back on the radio with Nick again.
Oh.
What, he missed the first half of the pay-per-view? I had to cover the entire thing on my own. It's something I should be used to by now, but, yeah. Third match.
Come on,
in...
Mace, you're the Joey Styles tonight.
Third match in, we had Hernandez versus Big Rob Terry in the match for the World Title Shot briefcase, which lasted a whole 30 seconds. Practically, Hernandez won with the pounce and got the 3 count.
Do that again.
No. You want to hear it again? Get it on the archive.
Right, clip it.
Oh, that's going to be used against me in blackmail, I'm sure.
Oh, that's why he does all this.
It's only effective in blackmail if you have any money to pay out.
Yeah, good point. Not broke, so...
Thank you.
This is one thing I'm actually liking. You know, again, I'll throw back to the fact that I was in chat rooms tonight talking about TNA. Everybody shit all over this match. They reckon it was friggin' horrible, that they shouldn't book it this way, squash matches aren't worthwhile, why did we pay for this crap? And even though I know most of them weren't paying for the damn thing, they were still crapping all over it, and, you know, really hoeing into it, you know, oh, squash matches are friggin' horrible, da 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 da. I brought up the point that if they were going to do the exact same thing, a 30-second squash match using Kane, Great Khali, Mark Henry, they'd be up in the air cheering about it. But because it's TNA, they've got a shit on it. Personally, I like the idea of Hernandez getting a push, getting a quick match out there, makes him look more dominant, especially against a big guy like Rob Terry.
Well, let me throw this one out there to prove your point. Jump back a few years ago to SummerSlam. I forgot, it was Orlando Jordan. Guess how quick he got beat by one Chris Benoit. What was it, 25 seconds?
Yeah, something like that.
there wasn't much bitching about that. Hell, most people were like, that was awesome.
Yeah, I made the same point with Kane versus Chavo at WrestleMania 24. You know, everybody loved the fact that Chavo got his ass kicked. But because it's TNA, they don't like it, they shit all over it.
Yeah, at least this was at the beginning of the show, and it wasn't like on one of their big pay-per-view events, like, oh, I don't know, Warrior versus Triple H, anyone?
Yeah.
Triple H got squashed in that match, and that was WrestleMania 12, long before Triple H was established. Second of all, you can't continue to take the, oh, everybody's going to shit on it because it's TNA stance. Dude, you're talking about two guys that most of the wrestling world really hasn't heard of. And
I like
you want
to got in there to defend his man crush.
And you wanna pull the, oh, it's TNA, so they're going to shit on it. You're talking about matches like Chris Benoit and Orlando Jordan. Orlando Jordan was a very big heel at that point in the JBL faction and following JBL and essentially having his lips super glued to his ass. So anybody who was going to beat down Orlando Jordan or anybody had anything to do with JBL, was automatically going to get over. Second of all Chavo Guerrero's done his entire career is taken beatings. And people still have this infatuation with Kane, even after years and years of disservice to that gimmick that WWE has pulled. So when Kane gets over like that, of course people are going to cheer.
All right, then what about Henry versus Orton a few weeks ago on Raw when he made his debut? Came in, squashed Orton. Same type of thing. Everybody loved it. What's the...
Orton's a heel. Orton's a heel, and people hate Orton. People.
Rob Terry's a heel.
Again, you're talking about two guys that most of the wrestling world know very little to nothing about.
Yes,
so they're just going to shit on it. They're just going to shit on it. Because of what it is. It has nothing to do with the company.
Spug, at this point in time, the people who are in these friggin' chat rooms and shit, watching the pay-per-view, they would have to at least have seen TNA or have watched a bit of it by now. Because it's the same idiots every month, in and out, that come into the friggin' rooms and bag the living shit out of it.
Alright, you're also talking about... here, I'll give you an example. Had they put, let's say, Brian Kendrick versus Johnny Nitro on, you know, on the Bash card, and Johnny Nitro came out and squashed Brian Kendrick in a matter of seconds, people would
cried.
People would shit all over that. All over that. And it has nothing to do with the fact that it's WWE. It has to do with the fact of the match. You're gonna pay that kind of money to see that shit of a match with two guys who shouldn't be there in the first place? That's what it is. That's why they're shitting on it, not because it's TNA in this case, but because of the match and the people involved in itself.
I can't find an argument.
See, people got nothing to say when I actually make a valid argument.
Well, I gotta admit, you got a good one in there.
So, Mace, what was next?
The first of two extremely, I'd say, stupidly booked tag matches. The IWGP Tag Team Championship with the British Invasion, who are the champs but not officially recognized as the champs, against Beer Money.
Actually, I believe I read that IWGP is New Japan is recognizing British Invasion as the IWGP Tag Champs.
Yeah,
I really don't like that TNA is doing that to begin with.
That kind of makes me cry. It really does.
Well,
in the first, Well, in the first place, you've got TNA, where you got this mentality that everyone should be going after the world belt, since it is the big belt, which is why, you know, it took so long to come up with a Legends belt, and that's still not even for the mid-carders. But it's perfectly okay to have two different tag belts being defended on the shows at the same time.
So, at least, you know, TNA has a tag division they can do that with.
Yeah, it'd be a stronger division if you only had one set of titles to go for. I don't explain the mentality working in one place and not working the other.
Oh, yeah, that's true. But, I mean, you know, at least it's not like two tag belts defended again between three teams on two brands altogether.
Hey, WWE's stupid in that aspect. I'm glad they unified the belts, but listen, TNA is heading down the WWE route, except they don't have two brands to put two sets of belts on. They have one, and so they're only diluting their tag team division even more. Oh, I can't get the TNA tag titles? I'll just go after the IWGP tag titles.
Right.
Anyway, winners of that one were the British Invasion to retain. So skip further into it with the TNA Tag Team titles, Booker T and Steiner against Team 3D, which I reckon both matches should have been reversed. They should have had Booker T and Steiner against Beer Money for the tag belts, Team 3D versus British Invasion. That would have made sense. But in the end, nobody knows what the booking's going to be like these days. The winner of the tag title match was the retaining tag team champions, Booker T and Scott Steiner, the guys who need subtitles, something shocking. So actually, what would have been one of... Yeah, go.
Just the moment they threw in a second ref in this match, I knew exactly what was going to happen. And, well, what happened was the ref had their two refs made a count, and they ended up going with a dusty finish.
Yeah, I noticed that as well when I noticed the two refs in the match. I don't see why the friggin' match needed two refs to start with. But, hey, I'm not the guy booking, so I'm not going to complain about it. Moving right along to one of the more, one of what I call two highlight matches of the night, which was Angelina Love and Velvet Sky versus ODB and Cody Deaner. Usual great knockouts match here. Knockouts division, always the highlight of TNA's roster. Very weird that it was a tag match. I had a lot of people saying, you know, since when was this tag match? When was it announced as a tag match? Obviously, that fact went unheard of with everybody else. The finish on that one is Cody Deaner pinning Velvet Sky for the win, and they played the music for ODB winning the championship, but then Cody Deaner takes the belt himself and walks off. Very weird sort of ending for this one. Anybody see this one and want to give a quick comment?
I hope to God that they squash this retarded idea right off the bat. We do not need Cody Deaner, a guy I can't even stand looking at, to be running around as the champion of one of the few... of the good, the only good division in TNA. We don't need that.
Yeah, I don't think this is one of their better ideas. Sure, it might be something interesting for a small spell, but yeah, hopefully this will be the straw that can break up the Cody Deaner ODB sort of relationship for good. Get rid of the bloody bastard. Anyway, TNA X Division Championship, Homicide versus the big fat man, Samoa Joe, and the smaller fat man, Taz. this would be where you finally got back into it, Will?
Yeah, right around here.
Alright, give us a quick thought, mate.
Well, for one, it's, you know, common knowledge, I have to listen to the pay-per-view, so I want to throw out right now that Don West, he does his job. He's a color commentator. Mike Tenay, he can go fuck right off. Anyways, how long ago did Homicide win the belt?
I didn't even notice he won it.
Yeah, see?
I think it was maybe a month ago.
Yeah, the point I'm trying to get to here is that this match was basically just to, you know, put the title in the main event Mafia. There was no reason for Joe to be the number one contender. There was no reason to have Joe as the number one contender. But instead, we got a guy who is a world championship wrestler running around with the mid-card title that should be defended amongst guys such as the Machine Guns, Lethal, Creed, Homicide, you know, guys like that. Now, instead, we've got it against a large fat man with retarded face makeup.
Yeah.
Umaga.
Pretty much, Umaga version 2.0 with less fat.
Umaga light.
Well, actually, I don't know. Samoa Joe's getting pretty chunky these days. But,
you know what? I'd be eating my own weight in Haagen-Dazs too if I was being booked like that.
Well, you know, you call Samoa Joe Umaga light. The thing about it is, had Samoa Joe gone to WWE,
that's what he would have been.
Thanks for all over me, Spud. Wait your goddamn turn. Shame on you.
This is something we already know, Tim.
Well, yeah, but you know, the point of it is, he didn't go to WWE because he didn't want to do Umaga or Umanga, whatever.
Umaga.
Yeah.
Really,
however, look at what they're doing to him in TNA.
How does Russo book that? How does Russo book that? Hey, we got this great idea. We're gonna put some face paint on you, right? We're gonna put you in black shorts, and you're gonna come out, and you're gonna be proud of your Samoan heritage, and you're gonna yell, and you're gonna be like this guy in WWE Umaga. Wait, that's why I didn't sign with WWE, is because I didn't want to play Umaga. But it'll be great. It's TNA. It's not Umaga, but it's like Umaga. How do you sell that when the guy already turned it down?
Give him a raise.
He doesn't have a choice.
Moving on.
Well, we had Samoa Joe applying the Taz mission to get the win. As I was talking to Rock during this match, it sort of seemed to come out of nowhere. Maybe they're trying to do the same thing that Taz used to do in ECW. Be play Taz mission out of nowhere and get the win. Who knows? We'll see as time rolls on. Lead ourselves into the Legends Championship in what I actually believe was the highlight of the night. Kevin Nash and Foley playing to their strengths and taking it slow. In the end, both men gushing friggin' waterfalls of blood. Taking advantage of Foley's little hardcore background. I don't think they could have done this match any better. It was, like I said, probably the highlight of the night. Your winner there and getting the Legends Championship belt back, Kevin Nash, giving up to this point the Mafia the main control over the belts with the exception of the Knockouts Championship. But then again, who knows, they might try and recruit Cody each week. Anybody got a thought on Legends match? Will, Omega?
The fact that we can sit here, and like 4 weeks I joked about it when I heard the match was announced. Kevin Nash versus Mick Foley. Oh man, that's going to be a technical classic. But the fact that you could sit here and say that that was a highlight of a night, I'm not sure if that says... I'm not sure if that says something good about Foley and Nash, who are both guys I enjoy, or if it says something bad about the way TNA is booking the rest of everything.
I would not have a clue. I don't know. I just felt like this was the highlight of the night after going through, you know, weird finishes with the knockout belt, the unseeable, let's call it what it is, clusterfuck of the Steel Asylum. The very reversed tag team title matches, what I think was a well-booked 30-second squash, but then again, I seem to know nothing, according to Spug.
I never said you didn't know anything there, buddy. I
whatever.
Said your excuse was bullshit. Is the why people hated it. That's what I said. If you're gonna, you know, bash me, at least do it right.
All right, ladies.
I saw the match, and I have to admit, it was really good. I mean, when I hear the names Nash and Foley booked in a match, I think to myself, well, that'd be an awesome match to see 5-10 years ago. But I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, they worked a very good match.
Exactly, and that's something that I'd like to see more of. More matches that are booked like that, where they're working off each other's strengths rather than trying to get some stupid taunt over or going for tables or flipping around like friggin' jumping beans.
Come on, you don't like watching Flippy and Spinny?
Nash,
no, I don't
says
like those shitty machine guns.
Nash says he pulls an awesome 720 splash.
Oh, yeah. That's a truly awesome move. I've seen him do it. It's really spectacular. Talking about less than spectacular. Well, then again, that's the opposite of what I just said. TNA World Championship match, Kurt Angle versus Sting versus Matt Morgan. Again, something that they're doing differently. Pushing a guy like Matt Morgan, who's been floating around in the mid-card, into a main event spot and actually making him look credible. Something that the WWE would not ever try to do. God forbid they ever try that.
What? New stars? No.
Yeah, I know. Shocking, isn't it? But
yes,
apparently they're speechless.
Exactly. New stars. Oh, my God. Shocking. Dead air. Awesome.
Brain no longer working.
Oh, you see, the problem is everybody's focusing too much on the hot chick on the Ustream holding the Wild Talk radio sign, who is a contestant for winning photo contest. And so they're all going,
Wait, hot chick? We actually had somebody who...
Yeah, I was about to say where, because I'm not saying anything on my screen, man.
Yeah, somebody actually sent in a picture to that damn contest? Finally? How long have you been promoting that?
Oh.
I've got several pictures, you smartass. Shut your fucking thigh hole.
Your family doesn't count, Tim.
I don't know any of these people.
All right, your extended family doesn't count.
What did I just say?
Hey, I have extended family that I don't even fucking know, so...
I have no choice but
especially
to have to know my extended family.
Especially you Jews, man. You guys have people all over you.
So. All right, enough with the cheat damn shots, or pay for it.
Anyway, even after all the bullshit recently with Kurt Angle and his arrest and his stalkeringness and everything else, Kurt Angle retains the TNA Championships, showing God knows what in their idea of what a world champion should do with his off time. I believe
apparently it's not driving
somebody,
around Starbucks at 7 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I believe there was somebody else on the crew here who wanted a moment to speak about the whole Kurt Angle arrest thing. I can't remember if it was Will or Mega.
I think we were getting into that somewhere toward the end.
We're definitely getting into that near the end of the show.
That's a cheap pun, boys and girls. Stay around.
Yep. We're talking about the felon, Kurt Angle.
Yeah, well, that pretty much brings the pay-per-view to a close. Any final thoughts, anybody who watched it?
Why would you keep the belt on a guy who got arrested and then publicly outed as a stalker carrying four bottles of HGH with syringes?
I have no idea.
Omega,
final thoughts?
That kind of steals my thunder a little bit. Okay, I can go with that.
Oh, here, let me take Omega's spot to say I think everyone I talked to was also in agreement that Mac Morgan winning this match would have been an actual good move, even though it was his first main event.
Yeah, that would have been a very good move.
I don't necessarily follow that.
Well, they started building the guy up over the last couple of weeks, gave him a good series against AJ.
I'm looking for more than a few weeks.
Hey, this is like building up Mark Henry and then putting him in Hornswoggle. Oh, wait, they did that.
Next week, he's going to come out in green tights and declare himself Matt Swoggle.
Not done that already.
Oh, shit. Can you feel the TNA suck the life out of the show?
I can feel a couple of things, but speaking about sucking things, make sure that you get that stove replaced as soon as possible there, Will.
I will.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, suck, don't blow. It's just an expression. Leave the poor stove alone. Everybody, you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Make sure you stick around. We got a lot more to talk about. Coming back, we're going to dive right into WWE's return to Canada, Western Canada, after like four frickin' years. We'll be back right after this. Essentially, I'm the best it's ever gonna be. I hold my ground, you never take it from under me. Don't run to me, it's gonna be trouble. I hit you so many times, you see triple or double instead of one of me. I got more heart, more ways to tear you apart. I lay you down early on, or maybe in the later round. It's no different to me. If you tap out, cash out, or simply pass out for three. Cause you face down, really, you're barely alive. Cause I'm an animal inside, hear me?
Mondays, 30 minutes after Raw goes off the air, join me, Maverick, on Running the Ropes. I give you wrestling talk as realistic as my imagination allows. I also give you wrestling news and opinions from all over the spectrum, including WWE, TNA, and the local NorCal indie scene. All this and much more on the only wrestling-based radio program in the San Francisco Bay Area. Running the Ropes busts out of the college level and into your home through the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com, the evolution of online entertainment.
This is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Anyway, with that being said, you've been listening to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas.
Wait, hold on.
Why do you always get to end it, goddammit? You are the producer, goddammit. You're
Shut
not
up.
The host of the show. Will is the producer. Producer's of the show. Shut up. For the Trump Rob parts.
Why didn't they do it? We waited forever for Rob to come back, and now you're not even gonna let him have the outro?
Okay, let Rob. Okay, come on. I dressed up for this show. God damn it. You know how hard it is to find a wife beater in my size? For William H. McConnell, and for, unfortunately, the lone jobber. And for the lone producer who doesn't do really much.
Oh, wait.
I am your host with the most, the godfather of extreme, Big. Well. I insulted myself real bad. Wow. Wow. Alright, everyone was listening. that? Forget about it. Forget. Forget. Wow. God damn it, Jobber.
What I do?
Hi. I'm Rob. Your Godfather Tree. For whoever the hell Big Daddy Ace was.
Ace!
Whether you're a badass, a godfather, or something in between, the answer is Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live. Midnight Eastern Time. Or as close as we can get. Only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey everybody, this is X-Rod. And you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You run around pulling stunts like that. See, never in my life could I front like that. I ain't caught like that. I couldn't run like that.
I've got two words for you.
Shouldn't have taken my hat off.
Suck it.
Remember back when things looked grim. I spent a lot of money with time off. Break it down.
And welcome back to WTR Sunday Night, where apparently everyone's gone silent, so I've got to do this.
Well, you're the one always bragging about being, hey, look at me, I was Mr. Host for 2 weeks.
hey, now, we took a week off between there, so technically it was free. Just get it straight. No, looks like a few of us are having a few microphone issues. Seems to be a running theme tonight. I know I've got Will back with me.
Oh, there's no microphone issue. I was letting you talk.
Oh, there's Spug.
Yeah, I'm still here. I just had my mic muted.
Yeah, no worries. I'm still here, too. It's the strangest fucking thing, and it's coming from Skype itself, which is my issue. Some great big huge screen height thing keeps popping up, blocking the current Skype message thing that we're working on and through right here, right now at this point in time, and it's, I don't know what the hell it is, but it's just full of all of this technical jargon bullshit, and it blanks out the, it literally covers the part of the Skype instant message client where the mute button is on the microphone for the commercial breaks whenever it pops up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I found Skype is probably the most problematic program I've ever run across. And
well,
everyone seems to get a completely different flavor of problems with it.
Oh, yeah, it does different things for different people. I don't know. You know, different strokes for different folks. Spug, leave that one alone.
I was waiting for that one, too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, stay away, Will. We've already talked about you and the stove. By the way, when's the wedding?
Yeah.
Okay, let's dive into it.
Actually, the wedding is off because he got caught with a microwave.
Oh.
He wanted the quickie.
I was about to say, I heard the microwaves were only good for a quickie.
Anyway.
I got no comment. I'll just, whatever.
Gee, I'm glad that Rock warned us about the wittiness and the quick comeback ability of Will. Before he got on the air with us, so we were forewarned about his ability to come back with all of these snappy comments. That's just awesome. But
when did he say that? That's terrible advertising, and that's rock salt.
Yeah, apparently it's false advertising, and I want my fucking money back. But that's beside the point. Let's dive in. Let's talk about WWE's return to Canada last week, you guys. How many of you watched last Monday night's Raw?
Yep.
No. You know why? Because it was in Canada, and I figured they were going to pander to the Canadians, and I would rather watch wrestling than pander.
And you were wrong.
They sure as fuck didn't pander to the Canadians. For those of you who don't know, Raw last week actually emanated from my hometown right here, Calgary, dramatic pause, Alberta, Canada. And our guest host wasn't anybody flashy or anything like that. No major, you know, star name or anything like that. We didn't get a guy like Ted DiBiase. We did get a classic WWF legend from the 80s and early 90s, and the guise of Sergeant Slaughter.
I did see his opening speech, and I must say, I clapped the entire time.
Uh-huh.
I really hate Canadians.
Well, if I could take a moment to be serious... Oh, Canada.
Don't you dare.
Oh, how I hate this place.
If you guys ever bothered to come up here, you wouldn't be saying shit like that. So, you know, like, shut up. And that's all I got to tell you. You maggots. You pukes.
Oh, no. The countryside is beautiful. I've seen pictures. I've got nothing against the Canadian countryside. Fantastic. I hate the people. There's a difference.
How many fucking people, how many Canadians have you met in your lifetime? Have you gone to Quebec?
I've gone to Toronto quite a few times.
Okay, yeah, you're judging the entire country off Toronto? Please, okay? We had our choice. We've been trying to sell Toronto to fucking New York State for 200 years, for Christ's sake.
Tim,
how
long have I known you? You're all you're all I need to judge Canadians. That's it.
Fuck you, fat boy.
All I need to realize, you know what? I really don't like Canadians.
And I reiterate, fuck you, fat boy. Anyway, back to the show. So WWE's return to Canada. Will, you saw the show, did you not?
Oh, I loved it.
You enjoyed it because of Canada getting picked on, right?
Oh, yeah, it was great. At first, I thought Slaughter, why did they pick Slaughter for Canada? And then they went and saved it by having Slaughter just fucking rag on Canada all night.
Omega, what did you think of last Monday Night's Raw?
Oh, I thought that was great. I was right in there with going, oh, this is just going to be a cheap G.I. Joe cop-out, putting Slaughter in there. But no. I was pleasantly surprised to see him go full-blown heel on the country. I think it was a little overplayed. Maybe he came out a few too many times to rip on everybody. But
Come on, that last one was gold. Come on, did he really fool the Canada with the Bret Hart bait and switch again?
Okay.
How dumb are you people?
No, don't they do that every time that...
Let me ask you this.
How many times does WWE have to pull out Bret Hart's music and do the old bait and switch bullshit before you guys actually get fucking sick of it? There wasn't a single person in the Pengrow Saddle Dome. There wasn't a single goddamn Canadian watching, unless he was from Edmonton, actually believing that Bret Hart was coming out just because his music was being played. Oh,
okay,
my God.
Okay, when you people stop popping for it, we'll stop doing it, plain and simple.
I mean, talk about stupidity. Mace, what did you think of Raw last week?
Pretty much Omega already said everything that I would have said about it.
Okay, now let's just forget about Sergeant Slaughter picking on Canada. And all that other wonderful bullshit just for a second. Now, let's actually take a look.
That was a highlight of the show.
Thank you. Let's take a look at the show itself. Rock asks me three-quarters of the way through Raw last Monday night, so what do you think of the show? And I said, I hate it. I'm just not liking it. And he says, oh, poor Muffin, getting upset because they're picking up Canada. I says, no, bitch, I'm getting upset because the booking is sub-fucking standard.
Don't lie.
I didn't think it was that. I didn't think it was that bad of a Raw. Maybe it was because they were making fun of Canada the whole night, but I told Rock while I was watching it, it was a pretty good Raw, even without the slaughter bits. I enjoyed it.
Don't, it was don't average. Lie. Don't, dude, don't lie there, buddy. Your panties were in a little twist because they were picking on Canada.
It was absolutely nothing special, and picking on Canada is not a huge upsetting factor for me. I mean, I put up with you freaking morons doing it every single goddamn week. I'm used to it. I'm a nerd to it. Some of the best parts of Raw last week were Chris Jericho's promos behind the scenes backstage. That was good. How he's like, oh, I'm going to win this match for Calgary because I grew up here. I trained in the dungeon here. I worked here in Calgary. I got my start in Calgary. And then he starts putting not just Calgary but all of Canada down and doesn't realize the mic's still on. Okay? That was gold.
It's Jericho. It's always gold.
So... yeah, you know, as far as that goes, Jericho is like Santino Marella. They're both gold. Now, everybody pretty much universally picked Chris Jericho last week as the MVP of Raw, and pretty much everybody is
He was my Raw pick. He was everybody else's WWE pick.
Well, yeah, everybody's WWE pick, okay? Yeah, you picked somebody from, I don't know, ECW or SmackDown for your WWE MVP. I don't remember. Anyway, I don't pay attention to you much, Will. But the point here is everybody's saying, okay, Chris Jericho, he's the golden boy of WWE right now. And Santino Marella, he's gold on the mic. I mean, the guy is absolute gold for WWE. Is this not true?
Well, yeah. Of course it is.
Now, that just goes to my point, you guys dissing Canada, because you're all fucking jealous. Look at this. You're jealous. You knocked down my country, yet you picked two Canadians to be the best of WWE. Ha! Shut up!
What are we jealous of? Really?
Wait,
don't they work
Canadian?
For...
hey,
better than you.
Don't they work for American-run companies?
So?
Wasn't Chris Jericho born in New York?
Yeah.
So basically what you're saying is it takes an American to make a Canadian look good.
Indeed.
No, not at all. Mace, you live down under, so shut up. You're not entitled.
You know what? At least his country has cooler origins than yours.
Yeah, they're all descended from criminals.
Makes him cooler than you. You're all from fucking French.
Oh, back the fuck off, bitch. I am not descended from French. Less than one-third of this country is French.
Don't we will settle here, enough. And we will have a new country, and we will call it Little Gay France.
Which, apparently, in English, translates to Quebec.
It's into Montreal.
Yeah, well, Montreal's mostly English anyway, but there's still Quebec. And nobody considers Quebec part of Canada, especially the rest of Canada.
Can we actually talk about the show itself?
Yeah, I think
novel idea.
We should get the train back on the tracks here. So
there was a show. I thought it was just bashing Canada.
Yeah. Okay. Blame Canada. There you go.
Like I said, they're a little too heavy-handed with that, and the fact that no one came out to redeem it. I would have been happy if someone came out and bashed Slaughter over the head at the end and got nothing.
Exactly. Not even the Canadian crowd really made it sound like that they were trying to retaliate against Slaughter. Yeah, they booed the shit out of him. So what? They needed somebody who was Canadian. Hell, they could have brought out Lance Storm for one night and have him beat the shit out of Slaughter. Do something to redeem it.
Would you expect some retarded little Calgary kid to run up with a hockey stick and beat the shit out of Sergeant Slaughter?
Well, isn't that...
Well, he ran up and got the contract, though.
He beat the shit out of you. It turned out to be the Miz.
Yeah. See, that was my failing point with Raw this week. Too many loose ends tied up at the same time. It seemed kind of... Everything seemed rushed and everything seemed very disjointed. I would have liked to see Miz trying for, you know, a
like a solid month of trying to get back onto Raw, trying to worm his way with the different guest hosts, trying to win contracts like he did on Monday night. It would have been a great little thing to roll on for a while, and instead they capped it off in an extremely obvious, you know, oh, we're just going to throw him back in type of situation.
And yeah, but they, for it.
Yeah, but they had The Miz beat Eugene so bad he got future endeavored.
Within a week.
Less than a week. It was like five freaking days. Yeah, I have to agree completely with Omega. They tied too many things up too nicely in one shot, and it would have been better scripting and booking to draw out Miz's return to Raw.
Yeah. It just would have made for some good comedy segments.
I mean, Miz can do. Well, having Miz get DQ'd last week, or actually having Eugene retarded Hulk Hogan on him and pinning. Now, my apologies to all the retarded people out there listening. I didn't really mean anything bad by that, but okay, I'm gonna stop digging this hole. And
hey, retards! At least you're not Canadian.
Oh, oh my gosh! Wow.
See, I'll try and get things back on track here for a second.
And you, sir.
And welcome to our final night here on the air.
Yeah, Will, you're fired.
Don't worry, he's been firing me for years. They don't stick.
It's one of his 62 pink slips.
Don't worry, Will, you may be fired, but you'll come back next week in costume and win your contract back. It's okay.
But if you show up as a Calgary kid, I'm kicking you in the dick. So anyway, as far as the Miz goes, they should have drawn it out.
Yeah, and see, I kind of had a problem with all that. Like, Shawn's return the same night, one shot, and it was a very stupid bit to stick him in.
Oh, what? You didn't like Shawn Michaels, the chef?
No, it's Shawn freaking Michaels. I don't want to see him as a short order cook.
Oh, that was hilarious. Come on.
That was funny, yes.
It was hilarious. Just nothing, it just seemed way too unlike him.
How could you not laugh at Shawn Michaels super kicking a kid in the face, even though it was off camera? That was hilarious.
Let's talk about how funny it is to super kick a little kid.
Yeah, I didn't even like, I thought that was too far.
That was too much. I mean, he should have thought of some other way to shut that little girl up. I mean, she's getting on my nerves. But here's my question. Did they keep both Triple H and Shawn Michaels out of Canada because of the supposed perceived perception from Vince that Canadians might have towards Shawn and Triple H, at least out west, you know, the home of Bret Hart?
Fight?
I don't know. They were cheering when the segments were going on.
I think they dropped the ball, personally. I think WWE dropped the ball. They should have had Shawn and Triple H in Calgary here. They should have had them on Raw live.
I would have liked to have seen them when they did the Bret Hart bait and switch to actually have Shawn Michaels come out to the Bret Hart music. That would have been just one more Canada.
No, that's just me.
I don't live there, so I don't have to put up with the riots.
Yeah, that would have pissed off Montreal more than Calgary.
I thought it would just mean all of Canada. They all seem to follow the same shit.
I thought it was funnier when Sergeant Slaughter brought out Hacksaw Jim Duggan, who once upon a time was a Canadian sympathizer.
Well, yeah, but
that was written by Russo in 2000 WCW. I mean, come on.
It just had a little bit of irony to it that I liked.
Yeah, and the problem is Sergeant Slaughter still calling for Lita. You know.
Sergeant Slaughter?
Or Hacksaw Jim.
Well, what
Canadian
do you think he
genius,
keeps
ladies
wait,
and
what
gentlemen.
He, what do you think he keeps a 2x4?
I'm not even
so
going
he can
there.
Pry his way back out.
Yeah, I'm not even going there.
I wouldn't
Don't
touch
worry,
her
Tim,
with
I
a
10-foot.
I wouldn't touch her with a 10-foot pole, and the 10-foot pole wouldn't touch bottom.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, in Canada we use metric, so it'd be a 10-meter pole. which, by the way, is longer.
Right.
It's all right, Tim. You don't need to go there. Everybody else will go there for you. It's okay.
There you go.
And to steer this show back to the wrestling.
Speaking about joint, getting there. So, who's surprised that Shawn Michaels is coming back?
I don't think anyone's actually surprised, but a point I wanted to bring up is they didn't need a big, long, you know, overhyped return for Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels, in this day and age, is one of those guys he can get over in a goofy segment like that, and that's all he needs. And I enjoyed it. You know, I didn't want to see them try and hype Shawn Michaels was the best thing since sliced bread. It was a simple, goofy segment, and it did what it needed to do.
I still am a fan of the Super King of the Kid, though. That was fun. I think it's funny.
Oh, how many times have you wanted to super kick a kid yourself, Spugger?
I have a 3-year-old, plenty.
That's past them, yeah. Kids, you gotta, you know, love them, but holy fuck, can they really get annoying sometimes.
Well, Tim knows exactly what I know what Tim's talking about. Tim knows what I mean. I mean, by the moral standards of the WWE, was that pushing it a little too far? Sure, especially if they're trying to go for that PG rating. But as a parent, you really go, yeah, I know what he's going through. I wish I could do that sometimes.
I'm not a parent, but I've got 4 younger siblings, so yeah.
No, that's
the
totally
youngest to being 5.
No, Will, that's totally, totally different. You're not allowed to relate to us until you have a kid of your own that you recognize, meaning that you actually admit to. Okay. Now,
well, that takes me out of the running, too.
Yeah, the only people who are allowed to actually talk about, oh, I know what it's like to have a kid and what kids can be like, are those of us who actually have kids, so shut the fuck up.
Going back on track, I do agree with Will. I thought that the segments were good. They were goofy, good for a quick laugh. They didn't need to be so long. They probably could have cut one segment out, just left it at the 2, have the first one they did, and then skipped right over the middle one, or shortened that into the third bit. But yeah, it just was a bit too much, if it was. Plus, you know, this is the 850,000th friggin' return of DX that we've had in the last 5 years. And in the end, I'm over it. I didn't really want to see it, but it was good for a laugh.
So, the overall consensus of Raw returning to Canada last week is you guys thought it was pretty okay. Meanwhile, I didn't think it was anything special.
That's because you're Canadian.
Got nothing to do with that, Ozzy.
I don't know. I thought it was an average show at best. I mean, I had a lot of little problems with it. I'm still not a fan of why they keep trading quick matches between Evan Bourne and Jack Swagger.
Monkey dance.
I mean, they're both better than that, and I would like to see someone show some consistency. It doesn't make sense that someone you could easily beat 1 week ago or 2 weeks ago is going to squash you that week.
Well, they could argue that it was the week that Bourne beat Swagger was the week where Swagger was taken, you know, Bourne, you know, lightly. Oh, look, he's like 5 feet tall. I'll kick his ass and I'll go to SummerSlam. And
yeah, but it doesn't do either of them favors. I mean, when you trade quick matches like that, it kind of comes off as getting lucky. And neither one of them looks good after that.
That's true. And by the time they get to the blow-off, no one's actually going to care about them. Because what, they've been in a match 3 weeks in a row now?
Yeah, uh-huh. they need to make sure that they don't book these two against each other for a good month.
Yeah, at
more or less.
Supposed to be building up with MVP, and it's gone nowhere.
Not yet.
Which probably means Evan Bourne and Jack Swagger round 4 tomorrow night.
Well, no, no. On Raw, there was the tease for the MVP Swagger match.
Oh, finally.
Yeah, but now that it's happening, do we actually give a shit?
No.
No.
Exactly. They took too long.
No, they took too long, and they didn't focus any of the build-up on MVP. He's been too busy beating up Evan Bourne.
Wait. What?
Swagger.
Last time I saw MVP, he was helping Evan Bourne. Why?
Swagger.
I know Swagger, but you didn't say Swagger. You just said the last comment was about MVP. And you're like, oh, it took too long. And now none of the focus was on MVP. And now he's just beating up Evan Bourne. And I went, what?
Time to get hearing checks, Bug.
Time to get Omega.
No, I can see where he got lost. But you know what? Most of us kept up with it. So no excuse for you.
A little too busy playing. Wow.
Nothing wrong with that.
There you go. Let me ask you guys a little thing about CM Punk and John Morrison. Let's talk about this a little bit here. You know, after spending some time together in ECW, are you guys happy to see them rising up through to the main event scene together?
Well, they start feuding again.
I know, the two do work well together, so I really enjoyed the matches so far, and they do play off of each other pretty well.
Okay, well, now, would you pay to see these two guys against each other in a pay-per-view? Would a match between these two sell a pay-per-view for you?
No.
I think it could. It's got the potential.
It has to be. It depends on if it's a straight-up match or a gimmick match, and it depends upon the gimmick. I'm really tired of seeing TLC matches. You know, that's WWE's answer for everything, is we'll throw either Edge or Jeff Hardy against some schmuck in a TLC match, and it'll sell. And that's gotta go, one. And two, the chemistry that Morrison and Punk had was just outstanding. So, yes, I do believe that really could sell a pay-per-view for me or other people.
Well, let me ask Omega first this question here. What do these two have to do on quote-unquote free TV, regular programming, to get you interested enough to actually pay attention to a match between the two of them at a pay-per-view?
Well, I will admit, Punk is already there. I've said before that I'm really enjoying his heel character, and I think he's been brought up the correct way. It's been a slow, gradual, kind of a natural feel that his heel turn has taken, and I think that has worked. I think he's already there, the main event quality. However, my issue is with Morrison. While he is fantastic in the ring, and I've really enjoyed his face turn, he's really starting to get over with the crowd, too. I mean, that was a very loud Morrison chant he was getting on SmackDown. But the character himself doesn't take charge enough. He does not present himself strongly when he's in front of a camera delivering a promo. He's usually in the back. He's usually playing off of somebody else. I don't see Morrison, charging, stomping down to the ring, grabbing a mic, and pulling somebody out from the back, really taking charge and taking things seriously. He seems passive, and that's not something I'm after from a main event quality guy. I want someone who's just out there and very strong in personality and very strong in presentation.
I can agree with that. Morrison is a great, great, great consistent worker. But I've never been a fan of his promo work. There's just something about his promos I don't like. It's the way he uses his voice. There's a tone in it where it feels like he's I can't describe it, but I'm sure most of you know what I mean, where it sounds like he's talking louder than he should to begin with, and he's just trying to embellish it more than he really has to. And, you know, Omega's right. It's a very passive character. He's, you know, Morrison's not been getting over on his promo work at all. It's all been his ring work. And if I had the money, I'd pay to see Punk and Morrison main event a pay-per-view. But Morrison has to have a stronger character before he can really stick.
I'll sort of jump in here with my thoughts on this one.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I'll kill the dead air for us. In one respect, I wouldn't really want to see these guys in a main event, only because we're basically getting that now. The only way I'd see it on the pay-per-view depends on the gimmick, like Spug said. I wouldn't go for a TLC match or a cage match or a Hell in a Cell, as seem to be the big three feud enders. I'd pay for something along the lines of 2 out of 3 falls, or hell, give me an Iron Man match between those two. Because as Will said, you know, Morrison's big attribute is his ring work. So why not capitalize on that with a match that can show how well both guys can work?
Say, give him about a 30-minute Iron Man match?
Give him half an hour in an Iron Man match. 30 minutes. I'm sure they can pull something out, seeing as most main events go for about 45 minutes anyway.
Yeah, maybe about a 10-man match.
Well, they did have something like it with Morrison's 15 minutes of fame back on ECW. But, I mean, a 15-minute match is a good, solid pay-per-view match.
Yeah. But you think in terms of your main events go from anywhere to from half an hour to 45, 50 minutes each. Why not take advantage of that?
It depends on who's in the ring, though. I mean, do you really want to see Batista in the ring for 30 minutes?
Fuck,
haven't we seen that before in his matches against Triple H and Randy Orton and John Cena and all that?
Doesn't it take him 30 minutes to get to the goddamn ring so he doesn't blow up before the goddamn match starts, for Christ's sakes?
Yeah, but that's why he shakes the rope, so he can get the warrior energy back.
There you go. All right. Well, hey, you know, guys, I think it's just about time that we take our next break of the evening. So let's do that, and then we'll come back and talk more shite about shite that we're going to be talking about. I think it'll be perfect. And I'm trying out a new fake Irish accent just for the hell of it. Everybody, you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The Great Debate is coming up next. Who's the best tag team of all time? Stick around, stay tuned. We want your input on this one, too. We'll be back right after this. Speak, but don't pretend. I won't defend you. Yeah.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present. Such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in.
Since 1996.
Attention ATS soldiers, I want to remind you to check out across the field.
What is that? What the fuck is that?
Every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on WildTalkRadio.com. As Spunk...
What's your name, scumbag?
And DL...
That name sounds like royalty. Are you royalty?
Go across the field covering the world of professional sports and providing their unique spin on everything going on.
Are you about to call me an asshole?
So, ATF soldiers, remember, every Thursday night, we'll head to the battleground and go across the field. 6 p.m. Eastern on Wild Talk Radio.
I'll be watching you.
At ease.
What do you get when you combine sports and geeks?
Robots are sexy.
I do too.
No, not another Revenge of the Nerds movie. You get Tuesday nights right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern. Grab the popcorn and a tasty cold beverage.
Get your popcorn ready.
Start off the evening with TK's tirade as TK goes off on yet another tirade about everything in Cleveland sports. Then grab your favorite Transformer.
Megatron, is that you?
And get ready for Otaku Talk Live with Spud and Omega, covering everything geek, so to speak. Tune in Tuesday nights, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, when sports and geeks collide.
Oh, shit, what are we going to do now?
Right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer.
It's about to pick up here.
And you're tuned in to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
It's going to be a slumber knocker.
Yeah, we're coming now.
And welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. A little bit late on the comeback from break, thanks to people messaging me during the goddamn show. And all of you people messaging me during the goddamn show, wait until the show's over. And there's one certain individual I'm talking to right now who's still sending me messages. And you can hear him rant and go on a tirade every Tuesday night. So, I'll talk to you after the damn show, you moron. Oh, wait, no, that's the guy on Monday nights. No, Maverick, not you. Well, maybe, I don't know. Anyway, it's almost time for the great debates, and I'm seriously considering thinking about discussing with a gentleman with me on the show tonight. Should we, I don't know, open up the phone lines and let a couple of people call in with their picks on the first two sets of tag teams? What do you think?
Yeah, why not?
Do we have to pay them?
No, absolutely not. They're the ones going to make the phone call, so we don't have to worry about it.
Then welcome aboard, people!
There you go. So we'll let you know when the lines open, and we'll send out the phone number in just a little bit. But talking about tag teams, what better time right before the Great Debate than to talk about the potential Hardy Boys reunion?
Woo-hoo.
Another reunion! Yay!
Another reunion, yeah, and this time it's live. It's not Memorex. Now, is it a smart move by the WWE to bring the Hardys back after the split earlier this year?
Will it drive merchandise sales up? Yes. Is it a good idea? Eh.
What do you think, Omega?
The split earlier this year wasn't all that long ago. I mean, Matt was still the guy that supposedly ran him off the road and supposedly burned his house down and killed his dog, and they made Matt out to be like Satan. And now all of a sudden, oh no, I'm here to help you, buddy.
Less than 6 months ago?
It was very recent, is what it was. It's just before all these injuries that started plaguing Matt, but he's been full-blown heel the whole time. It just seems cheap. It seems fake. Which I'm really hoping it is, because it's the only way this makes sense.
Doesn't feel
real. Well, I'm waiting for the eventual swerve.
Yeah, same. I'm waiting for Hardy to turn around and clock Jeff over the head again.
Wait a second.
What about if Jeff is the guy that pulls the swerve instead of Matt? Because everybody's going to expect Matt. Spug, what do you think about that idea? Just from a booking standpoint.
Jeff pulling the swerve?
Yeah.
That would be like a porn star cutting off his own dick. It would be stupid. Because one, the fat girl's panties aren't getting wet anymore, and they're not buying Jeff Hardy t-shirts. And so you kill...
You know, what the one thing that WWE cares about the most now is merchandise. They don't care about the wrestling, they care about the merch. So you're eliminating that right there. It would be absolutely stupid to just say, you know what, we're going to have Jeff Hardy go heel.
Yeah,
well,
I'd agree with that.
It would depend on how they do it, though. I mean, okay, this is WWE, so if they did it, it would probably end up in Jeff going heel. But, I mean, this storyline is based off, you know, something. All of Jeff's story recently has been based off his personal life, and, you know, if I were Jeff Hardy and the guy who supposedly set my house on fire and ran me off the road and killed my dog and had pyro explode in my eyes, if he came back, started acting all buddy-buddy with me while I'm the world champion, I'd be suspicious and I'd go for the first strike.
So yeah, I agree with Spug and his little merchandise analogy. It'd be the same as Austin turning heel in the middle of the Attitude Era. It's something that would really screw things over. You know, they didn't really bother turning Austin heel until The Rock's popularity got up to a point where they could start banking on The Rock and not so much on Austin. Same thing had happened, you know, if they turn Hardy heel, there goes merchandise sales down at least a bit. Mind you, it might improve the quality of fan that rocks up at the show. Maybe less Fat Hardy fans, but that's just me. Trying to agree with Spug.
Yeah, somebody tells me if there was a booker who actually wrote something like, oh, we're going to turn Jeff Hardy heel, the next day someone in charge of WWE merchandising would drop a bomb on his house. It just wouldn't happen.
Well, speaking of people who have had the book, Tim, your thoughts on this one?
Well, yeah, you know, I brought it up as a devil's advocate, but I can't see a way of them successfully pulling off Jeff punking out his brother Matt in revenge after everything that's happened since this whole thing started. and still, you know, still remain face and you know, so all that merchandise you guys are talking about.
There's one way to do it. There's one way to do it. It would be just, it'd probably have to be set up the exact same way the first heel change for Matt Hardy went, where, you know, they're ganging up and they're ready. You know, everyone's got a chair. They were about to lay a concerto on Edge. Just do a similar spot, and when Matt reels up trying to bash Jeff in the back and make the big, you know, backstab that everyone was expecting, Jeff turned around, bam, crack him in the head himself.
Well, that's just Jeff's coming right before Matt does, because Jeff knows it's coming. And yeah, it'll work. I mean, if you book it that way, it can work, and it's like, ha, gotcha, sucker, you know.
So. Well, it's not going to be booked that way, because they're doing it to demonize Matt Hardy again, and we know Jeff is going to be leaving any time now. And as far as anyone knows, his contract is up and he's on borrowed time at the moment. As soon as he leaves, guess who's going to be the one to put him out?
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, one thought I had while watching SmackDown this week, or no, the week before, when he was announced as the special enforcer, with Jeff possibly going out on either just time off or extended leave or whatever it is, Jeff has always been the high flyer, while Matt has always been the consistently sound worker of the two. And Matt has just had a lot of misfortune in his career, from getting screwed by Lita, figurative and literally, to just being very injury prone. But he's always been able to get over with the crowd when they write him to, and he's always been a very good worker. And again, this is WWE, so you know, you can't bank on anything good happening, but something I would have liked to seen is if Jeff does get put out, say they write an injury spot during the TLC match, is to see Matt Hardy step up and, you know, not take Jeff's spot as the number one face on SmackDown, but to, you know, start pushing Matt in a direction to where he could be a main eventer.
Yeah, I think WWE would love to go in that direction, to where they can rely on both Hardys to draw merchandise and to be a top draw and work a main event. Matt's just been too injury prone lately, unfortunately, or he could be there.
Well, yeah, but his injuries, except for, you know, the initial one that started this whole mess, have they all been freak happenstances, or is it just a little bit of basic stupidity contributing?
Well, let's see. Appendicitis ruptured right around Jeff Hardy's first world title push. That came off the heels of a knee injury when he was teaming with MVP. He was fine around his ECW run. Then he broke his hand against Jeff at Backlash, which, you know, that's Matt's fault, but I mean, it wasn't something that put him out. And then he got the what was it, an abdominal tear,
something like that.
Yeah,
it's a weird combination of, I don't know, I want to say it's a bit of both. I mean, like I said, the hand was his fault at Backlash, but then he ends up, you know, getting an abdominal tear or appendicitis or a staph infection, which he's also had. So I mean, it's unfortunate is what it is, because he's a very, very gifted worker. I'm done, Omega. You can.
Well, basically, bottom line, anybody got a problem with these brothers kissing and making up and teaming back up again with each other?
Yeah, it seems unnatural and rushed.
It does.
Kissing up or getting back together?
Oh, get your head out of the gutter.
Sorry.
No, I mean...
It feels rushed, it feels unnatural, but, I mean, what can you do? They've seen how well this Matt Hardy heel thing's going, and it's not really going real well, is it?
Okay, well, let's play You Be the Booker really, really, really fucking quick here on this whole angle that's going on right now. They look like they're making up, doing this, that, and the other thing. And here comes SummerSlam. CM Punk going after Jeff for the title. And Matt comes out after CM Punk does some kind of something. The ref bump comes, so he's out cold. CM Punk is looking like he's going to do something absolutely bad and not very above board. And then there's Matt that looks like he's coming to the rescue. Now, does Matt come to the rescue, or are you going to book the swerve right there? Start off, Spug, what do you think?
He's on his computer right now.
Okay, something tells me that he took off to write a biography or something like that. That's so good about him and Tuck. Let's talk to Omega. Omega, you take the book, and you book that match. The scenario that I posited.
Describe it again. I'm preoccupied as well, but I didn't run off like some people.
Yeah, well, you know.
Run back. I'm back. Shut up.
If you don't stop it, you'll go blind, Omega.
Can't prove that.
So anyway, the question is, we're going to play you Be the Booker really quickly here. And it all of this kissing and making up by the Hardy Boys and the feud between Jeff and CM Punk leads to SummerSlam next week. And the ref takes the obligatory ref bump. CM Punk looks like he's about to do something naughty, naughty. Here comes Matt. How are you going to finish the book on that?
See, it's really hard because, like I said, it feels like something that's been set up for Jeff's eventual and very imminent exit from the company. I'm really not sure how much time he has left. Now, if he's going to stick around for another month, which advertising says he is, then I say no. Not just then. You make that Matt Hardy's false moment of redemption, I guess. Where that's the point where Jeff starts believing his brother is still on his side. The month after that is when CM Punk would regain the belt after Matt swerves his brother.
Now, keeping in mind that just because the promotional posters that have been released for like 2 months down the road featuring Jeff Hardy, it doesn't necessarily mean he's still going to be there, and those are the final promotional posters.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I'm just going on what information I can collect here. All I'm saying is that if it can be put off for a month, it should be put off for a month and given twice as much payoff, because right now the fans don't believe it, and you need to get them to a point where they believe that Matt has redeemed himself, where he is regretting his actions and is back on his brother's side. And then you swerve everybody.
So, using 10 words where 2 would have done, how would you have booked the match, the scenario that I posed you?
Matt makes the save, allows Jeff to get the pinfall. Hardy's back together, so it seems.
Pinfall at TLC?
All right, Will, your turn, really quickly here.
Honestly, I'd say fuck your scenario.
Okay, you don't like the scenario?
Not for a TLC match.
Okay.
All right, if I can be quick about it, the bit I proposed earlier while talking about Matt possibly going into Jeff's spot would be an ideal way if Jeff is going out of the company, because they're either doing one or two things. There's only one or two things they can do, but really, I don't know which one I'd want to see, because I don't want to see the obvious swerve, and I it's too unnatural for the for them to get back together. So, I mean, either way, it's going to come off awkward.
Mace, what's your opinion?
Have Hardy make the save. Don't pull the trigger on it just yet. Sort of, if you have Hardy lose, have a big, you know, you know, you're leaving, sorry I had to end like this, and then, boom, pull the trigger.
Spug?
I'm with Will, because your scenario just doesn't work in a TLC. There really is no ref, and it's no DQ, so what the hell is Matt Hardy going to save?
Okay, well, thank you for playing Mace. I wasn't necessarily pointing out the actual match that they have booked. I posited a scenario and wanted to see how you guys would have booked it. And the only one who actually really came through was Mace. So, congratulations, Mace. You win.
Yay, what
Mace,
do I win?
You get a T-shirt, which will, you know, be there in 6 to 8 years.
I'll be waiting.
You win a date with Nick.
Oh,
hey, can I get a refund on that?
Hey, you know, it could have been worse. Second prize is 2 dates with Nick.
Could have been my oven.
I think Maverick got the booby prize. I'm sorry, Nick. I'm kidding. If you're still listening, I'm just having fun. I'm playing. I'm just joking. All right. That's enough. I think it's time we get into the great debate. The first two teams this
music?
Week. Do we have music? Apparently not. No. So
on the ball
is
always Sir Rockin.
Hey, don't pick on the second best producer on the network, okay?
Quick, Tim, open an email.
Tim, I believe he's the first best producer.
Listen, if I want your opinion, Spug, I'll give it to you. Anyway, moving on.
I thought
on,
he was the only producer.
Moving on and getting to the...
Are you kidding me? Tim hasn't produced in years. I don't know if Tim's ever produced so much as he said he thought he produced.
Getting to the segments, the first four teams going head-to-head against each other. We got the Rockers versus Miz and Morrison, and then we got Harlem Heat versus the Dudley Boys. Now, we're also going to open up the phone lines at this point in time and let some people who might want to call in and give their 2 cents on this, call in and, you know, give their 2 cents on this. So, for those of you who want to use the telephone, you can call area code 267-297-1397. Yes, I'm from Canada. But you're calling a U.S. phone number. That's not my number, so don't worry about any overseas phone calls, charges, or any of that crap. Now, if you've got Skype and you don't want to call 267-297-1397, all you got to do is get on your Skype client and Skype Sir Rockin'. And at the moment, I think right now, we've got a phone call. Okay, what's your name and where the hell are you from?
That would be your cue to speak.
Well, my name is Cliff, and I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Okay, hold it right there. That explains right there why he's slow on the uptake. So be nice.
Calling from your cousin's telephone there, Cliff.
Well, actually, I was actually going to say, finally, the Cliff Meister has come back! Wild talk.
Can we hang up on him?
Alright, so who exactly were the tag teams? It was the Dudleys versus who?
Can anyone hear this guy?
I can, barely.
I can hear him.
Oh, thanks. I'll turn up my mic.
Turn up your mic.
Pretty low.
Somebody say something for the love of Frag.
Ladies and gentlemen, before calling in, please make sure your shit is in working order.
Unlike Will's oven, or stove, whatever.
You got blowed. By Will.
Ew.
Oh, that's bad. Okay, so the first matchup we're looking at here, Cliff, just to make sure you're paying attention, will be the Dudley Boys versus Harlem Heat. Now, who would you pick to move on, and tell us why?
I would pick the Dudley Boys. And the reason why is because Harlem Heat is a power team. If I see them getting slammed through, I don't see them handling a tables match very well. Look at Booker T's career. He sucks. His brother or whoever it was wasn't that good to begin with. It was basically Booker T that carried the team. So Dudley Boys by a landslide.
Okay. So we've got one vote for the Dudley Boys. Now we're going to move on to Will and let Will expound.
I will do just that.
Okie dokie.
I stuck my tongue out at you and you can't even see it. God damn it.
Haha.
Yeah, anyways, at first when I saw it, I was going to say Dudley Boys right off the bat, because when I was young, all I knew was WWF. You know, I didn't know about WCW until near its death, so everything I've learned about old WCW has been retroactive. So, you know, I did what all great debaters should do. I went back and I took a look at what Harlem Heat was all about. And I'm looking at it. They were what? I want to say early 90s team. You're looking at a team that really helped as WCW was going mainstream with Turner. They helped throw the tag division out there. They were going to start off as a slave team, but, you know, like all great WCW ideas, it ended up in the trash almost immediately. But, you could say Harlem Heat because they helped establish tag team wrestling in WCW as it got mainstream, but they were only successful in one company, and that was WCW, and they weren't even, the team ended up getting split up, and, you know, one got famous, one became a commentator, you know, typical tag team curse, if you want to call it. The Dudley Boys, on the other hand, have 22-time World Tag Team Champions. That's from, well, we all know what's from, ECW, WCW, WWE, both sets of WWE championships, NWA, TNA, and just recently the IWGP, as well as the World's Strongest Tag Team in All Japan. And if you look at it purely on accolades alone, it's the Dudley Boys. No contest. They may not be the most solid team in the ring, but they are without a doubt one of the most successful, and they've been able to stick around as long as they have and stay a team, and that just, it puts them out there in the forefront up there with the greatest teams such as the Road Warriors and Steiner Brothers and all them. So I'm going to give it to the Dudleys.
There you go. Now, before we move on, I just want to let everybody know, you can, even though we've got one phone caller into the show, you don't have to wait until he's off the air if you want to call in. And I can't remember the phone number right off the top of my head.
267-297-1397.
But I knew that everybody would talk over each other to try to get it out there if I mentioned that. So, yeah, once again, 267-297-1397, or Sir Rockin' on Skype to Skype. So feel free to join the great debate here. So we've heard from our first caller, Cliff, who's, I guess, off the line now. And we've heard from Will. It is time to talk to Omega.
Harlem Heat, Dudley Boys. I've got to go with the crowd for now and say the Dudley Boys as my particular choice. more along the lines that Harlem Heat, while they work together really well as a tag team, brothers who are decent at wrestling generally do seem to work well together. That being said, only one of them had the capability to go anywhere. I mean, the most I can really remember about Stevie Ray is that weird tattoo he had on the back of one of his shoulders. or the weird scar, I should rather.
Oh, that lump thing, yeah.
I remember that's how I told them apart as a kid. Stevie Ray's the one with the weird growth on his back. Now, that being said, Stevie just never did anything for me. Now, Booker T, I mean, I would disagree with Cliff in this matter. He's got talent for the ring, and he's got a hell of a lot of personality. But his brother really never did anything for me. When he went to a commentary, you kind of got this feeling that he really doesn't do so well on his own. And really, Booker seems like he could have gone anywhere with anybody. It just happened to be his brother at the time.
All right. Well, we've added another caller to the Great Debates. Caller, announce your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, what's up? It's Mike from D.C.
Oh, no, it's D.C. Hey. Mike.
Yes.
Super stalker!
Who broke down? Who broke down in Toledo.
The yes, stalker I who did. Broke down in Toledo. Cool.
Okay, right. The Great Debaters. I have to say the Dudley Boys, number one, because I've been listening and, you know, for all the things that they did, like ECW, WCW, WWE, TNA, even though they're like the 22, I think it's 22 or 23rd time tag team champions, they have had like a whole rack of careers. They've been through it all. They've held at least a few single titles. So I have to go with the Dudley Boys. I mean, the Harlem Heat, they're okay, but just like it was said, they've only been able to do one show, and that was WCW.
So far, it's pretty unanimous with the Deadly Dudleys. Spug?
Well, if you go by the qualifications that were set out, work rate, championships, all that, it's the Dudleys hands down. I don't know if there's a company that they haven't won a title in. You know, they've got titles in Japan, the United States, all over the place. So, for me, and not just because they gave us so many great memories in WCW and ECW, or I mean WWE and ECW, they really are one of the great tag teams up there with the Road Warriors, and, you know, the Rock and Roll Express and the Midnight Express and teams like that.
All right. Well, it's already unanimous, and the victors are already moving on. It's going to be the Dudley Boys winning the first round of the first ever Great Debates. But that doesn't mean we're not going to finish hearing everybody's reasons for it. Mace, it's your turn, dude.
Well, is there really a point in continuing with it? Dudleys have moved on. Seriously. There's not much more that can be said about the boys. I would have liked to have said Harlem Heat, but then I realized that we had criteria for this, and pretty much the Dudleys fill those criteria. So, yeah, Dudleys by default.
There you go. By default, the Dudley boys moving on. So, the winners for the first round of the first ever Great Debate for the first tag team matchup, the Dudley Boys taking out Harlem Heat.
Yay.
Everybody, yay. Hey, all we need is that 1-2-3 count that is at the end of, you know, in the outro.
No, we need to set this up so you can actually hear, like, clips of the ring announcers, and your winner, the Dudley Boys.
Hey,
that would be good.
There you go. We'll have to talk to Joe Producer after that and see if he wants to go through that kind of bullshit. Okay,
that
so...
That may actually have to do some work. My God.
There you go. Let's go to the second tag team matchup. We're going to be looking at the Rockers versus Miz and Morrison. And because it was pretty much a fait accompli before we got to you, Mace, you kick off this one first.
Well, this one I'd actually put it along the lines of hard to call. Because when you take a look at both teams, they're pretty much same style, not so much same look, because hell, looks were very different in the 80s compared to today. They're pretty much same team, different generation. Both high flyers, one of them breaks away from the team and actually like gets somewhere because of his mic skills. The other one does all right because of his work rate. With the, well, I suppose my genetic had a work rate or a mic rate, so I wouldn't know who to give it to. I would not. I'm actually stumped.
Wow.
I actually stumped myself on that one. Love that.
I didn't expect this.
I'd probably say I'd probably have to pull it down to titles the teams have held. I'd probably just have to give it to the Rockers just based on titles.
Wait, if you're basing it on titles, why the hell would you give it to the Rockers?
Didn't they hold it twice compared to Miz and Morrison's one?
They held the AWA Tag Team Championships, but their only WWF Tag Team title was reversed because of a turnbuckle break.
All right, then give it to Miz and Morrison then.
So you choose Miz and Morrison. I'm going to choose the Rockers. First off, Miz and Morrison hadn't been around long enough. Secondly, when you stop and you look at it, sure, you know, they didn't exactly win any WWF titles or anything like that, for real. And the one that they did get reversed. But if you look at what the Rockers did in the ring, how they pumped up the crowd every time they came out, these guys did not need belts to get over. They were over. Yeah, sure, you had Marty Hu and Shawn Michaels, and let's face it, the Heartbreak Kid carried that tag team. But they introduced the Flash and the Splash to the tag team division, really, when you stop and you think about it. For me, the pick is very easy. It's got to go to the Rockers. And so, basically, I guess we're 1-1. At the moment, we're going to go to one of our phone callers. Let's pick Mike first. And, Mike, who do you choose and why?
This is a difficult one. Let me see. One half of myself say choose the Rockers because, like you said, they pump up the crowd and everything. But then my other side tells me to pick Miz and Morrison because they, even though they were like, not there for long, but you've seen the teamwork that they have done. You know, you have a high flyer and you have a well-balanced, you know, striker. Unlike the Rockers, you have like an extreme super kicker slash high flyer slash luchador, and then you have another one who's like drug addict slash one-time only energetic person. But I believe that I am going to have to choose Miz and Morrison.
All right, so we got two for Miz and Morrison, one for the Rockers. Let's hear from Will.
Oh, let me tell you something, Tim. Marty Jannetty and Leif Cassidy, man, that was a great... Oh, wait, wrong Rockers.
Leif Cassidy, that's funny.
We're sorry, Al.
Yeah, those were the wrong Rockers.
It's easily, Shawn Michaels, Marty Jannetty. It's like you said, they brought a whole new style to tag team wrestling. Before then, it was either you had the big guy and the small guy, or you just had two big guys. Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels come along. They're pulling off moves in tandem. They're doing the nip ups at the same time. They're all over the ring. Fans love it. They see two guys and colorful outfits, high energy music coming out just all over the ring. It was, you know, best word for it was a revolution for tag team wrestling. You know, these two paved the way for tag teams such as Edge and Christian and the Hardy Boys. So, easily, the Rockers.
All right, so basically we're pretty tied up here, guys. Hey, who's keeping count, by the way?
We're supposed to keep count?
Well, kind of, yeah. Spud, what do you say?
The Rockers, because the Miz and Morrison one should never, ever, ever be on this list. They weren't together long enough as a tag team. They hardly meet any of that criteria. They don't have the work rate, and that to me is the biggest one. You have teams like the Rockers who never had a WWF Tag Team Championships. Granted, they had an AWA one, which was one of the big promotions back in the day. But in the 80s, it was all about the WWF. Miz and Morrison were a team for what? I want to say 4 months tops. You know, between the different brands before the split and the draft, they didn't have the work rate. They held the title once.
No, they had twice. They had a year twice. And a half together.
Again, still not the work rate. The teams like the Rockers, LOD, Demolition, Hart and Yokozuna, the British Bulldogs. You're talking years upon years and even generations together. Generations. I'm sorry, not here, but decades. That I'm sorry to me, the Miz and Morrison are nowhere near a great tag team. They were a flash in the pan tag team. Were they great for what they did? Sure. But they're nowhere near the greatest tag team of all time. So for me, it goes to the Rockers.
All right, so the Rockers moving out into the lead, and Omega.
Now, to counter a little bit of what he said about Miz and Morrison, now, I understand that they don't have the legacy and they don't have the longevity that the Rockers had. But while they were a tag team, especially after they won championships, that team, for some reason, those were the guys that got booked on what seemed like every show. You know, there were weeks where you would see them on Raw, ECW, and SmackDown because they were, I don't know for what reason, we're all over the place. And when you talk work rate, I respect the hell out of that because that's a lot of extra traveling and that's a lot of extra ring work, you know, just to be part of the crowd. So you did have a very committed tag team, and yeah, for the year and a half they were together, they were good. I enjoyed the ring work and I enjoyed, you know, the chemistry they had together. That being said, it always came off like a mongrel tag team that just happened to click. Or just for circumstances, it was better to keep them together. They never really came across as anything that was meant to be together or a solid tag team of any kind. They just happened to be really good in the ring together. The Rockers, on the other hand, they had a chemistry to them. Of course, naturally, there is a legacy to the team, especially with a legend like Shawn Michaels as one of its primary members. But when you want to talk legacy, the Rockers, in their last moment, sealed it. Because the breakup that they had, Shawn throwing Marty Jannetty through the window of Beefcake's barbershop, that's the breakup that every team wishes they had. Everyone remembers that. That is the quintessential heel turn and backstab of a tag team partner. And that really was the origin of the modern breakout for a tag team. The modern breakup of both stars. And I have to give my vote to the Rockers because I can remember the things they did. Not quite so much for Miz and Morrison.
Well, there you go. The Rockers definitely pulling out into the lead. And we're going to go to Cliff and hope Cliff learns to talk loud enough that we can hear him. Cliff, it's up to you, pretty much. I mean, this thing could wind up tied.
Wow. Well, the Rockers never won a tag team. Ms. Morrison, although they were entertaining as far as Mike, they weren't around long enough. I'm going with the Rockers, because the Rockers brought more to the table. They're energetic. They're high flyers. They piped up the crowd, you know. So my choice is the Rockers, because Miz and Morrison, you just love to hate them. That's the only thing about them. So I'm going with Rockers.
Well, there you go. The Rockers win round, the second matchup of round one. And we've got Nick on the air. Nick, your vote really doesn't matter for shit, but you might as well give us your pick and tell us why.
Sorry, did you say me?
Yeah, but talk quieter.
I'll just turn the mic down.
Oh, yeah, try that then, mate.
I'm a lot lazier. I'd have to give it to the Rockers, just because Miz and Morrison, Miz was such a weak partner. It was Morrison carrying the entire team.
Okay.
So, there you go. We had a couple of picks for Miz and Morrison, so the Rockers win 6-2. And, of course, the first matchup, the Harlem Heat versus the Dudley Boys, that was almost unanimous.
I just had a thought. Sorry to derail everything. I know it's what I do best, but can you actually decide team versus team? What would be the criteria? Impact? Because if you the biggest impact in professional wrestling is just with authority, it'd have to go to the outsiders for starting the NWO.
Whoa. Nick?
Sorry, don't jump ahead in the list here. We're doing this 1 week at a time, two rounds only.
We're only doing two
rounds. I thought we had three rounds.
Two matches. I'm getting my words wrong here.
Yeah, we're matching up four tag teams, two tag team matchups per week. Cool.
The criteria and the matchups are all available on the forums at wildtalkradio.com.
There you go.
Nice plug by Mace.
Just get into the forums like Mace told you to do, and if I were you, I'd listen to him, because he might put you in a headlock and put you to sleep.
I will say this,
he's
only
in Melbourne, so it's not that far from me.
Thanks, Nick. Go ahead, Spug.
I will say this, however, about the teams that we talked about this week. They all had their impact upon tag team wrestling in one way or another, be it for good or for bad. But, you know, the Harlem Heat was just sort of localized to WCW. I think if they had, you know, actual world exposure, they might be up there with the Dudley Boys as far as the number of titles and the influence. I mean, that's the one thing that I don't believe is on the criteria list, is influence. Listen to some of these tag teams talk, like the Dudleys and people like that, and they're always, you know, LOD, the British Bulldogs, they're our inspiration as far as tech, you know, we try to look at what they do, you know, and to me, that signifies a great tag team, is when you become an inspiration for somebody and somebody wants to emulate what you did, that means you've made it.
There you go. That's, sorry, who was I cutting off, Mace?
No, it wasn't me.
Okay, I thought I was cutting somebody off. But there it is. So we've got the winners, we've got the Dudley Boys, and we got the Rockers moving on in the great debate. Next week, we'll tell you right after this coming up final commercial break who the next set of tag team matchups will be for round two of the great debate. Everybody, you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I'd like to thank our callers tonight. We had Mike Cliff and, of course, Nick call in to give their two cents, and there ain't no change, guys. Anyway, we'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. We got a little bit more coming up right here, Wrestle Talk Radio. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do when they come for you? When you were 8 and you had bad traits, you go to school and learn the golden rule. So why are you acting like a bloody fool? If you get hot, then you must get cool. Bad boys, what you gonna do? Oh, what you gonna do when they come for you? Bad boys, what you gonna do?
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is a public service message from your friends at the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday nights at midnight, the Wild Talk Radio Network presents Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, a show that has a reputation to sometimes take things a little too far with their use of vulgar language and explicit content. We here at the Wild Talk Radio Network are here to tell you that we will not stand for this any longer. We are going to make sure that Cigarette Butts and Bandanas cleans up its act. There will no longer be any use of vulgar language. There will be no more explicit content, and no one will be offended when they tune in to Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Saturday nights, midnight Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thank you for your support, and continue to listen to the new and improved Cigarette Butts.
Screw that. Join us Saturday nights, where we will take things to the extreme, the only way we know how, with the no limits and uncensored nature of the one and only Cigarette Butts and Bandanas, only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, the speed limit is 55. I checked your speed at 73.
Oh, I thought it was 65 up there.
Okay.
I was just last night. We were wrestling in Huntington tonight on our way to Columbus.
Who are you wrestling for?
WWE.
Is that right?
Nobody else.
I don't follow wrestling.
No, I just mean we're like, you know,
somebody on TV or something?
Yeah, world champion.
What do you go by?
Rob Van Dam, RVD.
Oh, okay, I've heard of you.
Yeah.
What's your name, Ball?
Sabu.
Sabu. Rob, it's 55, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. I thought it was 65.
You're rolling pretty hard.
I don't need to do that.
No. Was driving with your shirt off?
It was very hot leaving the area. No, I don't.
You wrestled tonight?
Yeah, just a few minutes ago.
Do you have any marijuana, guns, knives, drugs, anything like that in the vehicle? Can you explain to me why your car smells like dope?
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine. The whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Thank you.
welcome back to Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Coming into back into the show with the song by The Police, Every Breath You Take. Absolutely wonderful song, but, you know, the thing comes out and everybody's, oh, what a such a sweet little love song. People, for those of you who don't know, it's a song about stalking. It's not a love song, okay? During the break, we heard RVD's arrest and the promo that he cut for us to get out of jail. And RVD actually did an interview with Wrestle Talk Radio. You can find that in the archives. If you haven't smelled it yet, check it out. Definitely. But coming back from break with the police, that was kind of a little bit of a request because we're going to talk about the Kurt Angle situation really quickly. Guys, gals, everybody, Kurt Angle got himself into trouble over the weekend, allegedly stalking his girlfriend, Raka Khan.
He's been a naughty, naughty boy.
He's been a naughty, naughty boy.
Who would actually spend time trying to see her more often?
Well, he was supposedly on drugs, so...
Oh, that would
that
do
could
it.
Explain it.
Yeah, he was on human growth hormone, which, as you know, really fucks your brain up and makes you do stupid things, like drive around Starbucks at 7 in the morning to look for a hotel room. Right, Kurt. Fuck. Jesus. Oh, I wasn't stalking her. I was looking for a place to sleep. She kicked me out of my house.
Well, apparently yeah. That whole Booker T. Charmel angle from back in WWE about Kurt loving gutter sludge, I guess that was true.
Ooh.
Oh. Old reference and a well, dig. Nice job.
Well, shame on you. Yeah, so for those of you who don't know the story, they had what is being described as a fight on Friday night. Now, here's the thing about it. Raka Khan actually went and got herself a restraining order against Kurt, and it was based on abuse. Now, the only thing that's come out over this whole thing is that they had a quote-unquote fight. Now, what exactly happened? Nobody knows. Nobody has really said anything in specific detail. And, okay, so did Kurt push her around? And did she push him back? If he pushed her around, you can damn betcha she pushed back. I know professional wrestlers, and it doesn't matter if you're a male or a female wrestler. If you're a grappler, you're going to push back when, you know, somebody pushes you. Now, I can understand they get into a little bit of a tizzy, and she's thinking, well, he's going to beat me up, so I'm going to get a restraining order against him because of, you know, like, we'll base it on abuse because he said a bunch of stuff. Now, if you're verbally abusive, the restraining order will be based on abuse. You don't have to actually hit somebody here. There have been no reports, no medical examinations filed. You know, you can search the internet high and low. Nothing anywhere says that she got beat up by Kurt. Do you guys think that Kurt Angle beat her up?
Well, it said in a story that Rocket linked me to that he allegedly had her cell phone, which she reportedly was worried he was deleting pictures she had taken of the marks he had left from beating her. Like you said, though, there's really been nothing about that. So we don't know if she's, you know, was just saying it to be saying it to get sympathy, or if she actually filed anything, or if, you know, Kurt did end up deleting whatever pics there may have been. Do I think Kurt beat her? Wasn't that part of the
The divorce settlement with Karen Angle was that, you know, she had accused Angle of abuse. Wasn't that part of the reason for the divorce?
Well, to be fair, don't get me wrong here, I'm not downplaying domestic abuse at all. But I have been around my fair share of divorces, and you can't put it past certain female individuals to lie about that happening to get whatever they want in their favor.
Sure, sure. No, I agree, but here's the thing, and I too have seen my fair share of domestic violence and divorces. But I will say this, where there's smoke, there's fire. And if she, and if there, you know, the divorce included, you know, accusations of domestic violence with Karen Engel, what is to say that it is not happening again with Raka Khan? I, you know, steroids, it's scientifically proven that steroids make you do stupid things, especially HGH, because it boosts and overproduces natural hormones in your body that are meant to be kept at certain levels. So, you know, he could be overly aggressive and things like that. That is not a defense for his actions, however. So, you know, I'm not necessarily saying he didn't do it. I don't know if he did.
Well, if we can get confirmation on whether or not that was in the divorce with Karen, if it was, then, you know, like you said, where there's smoke, there's fire. You know, it's one thing for, in a nasty divorce, for a spouse to claim abuse, but, you know, when you have it thrown at you again more than once, it's, you know, more than likely there could be something going on, physically or verbally.
What's your opinion on the whole situation here, Mace?
Yeah, pretty much same as everybody else. Until there's real proof, we can't really tell what's going on.
Okay.
At the moment, even I'm just reading now the criminal complaint against Kurt Angle.
Yeah. Now, Spud, you brought up a very, very salient point. Generally speaking, usually when there's smoke, there's fire. However, being a having been a victim of falsehoods, I can tell you that sometimes when there's smoke, all there is a screen. My ex would tell people that she walked out on me because I was violent and abusive. And that is one thing I've never been, is violent or abusive. As a matter of fact, I've had to duck a few empty beer bottles thrown at me in my time.
Oh, Tim, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying women aren't crazy bitches and will do anything to get attention, because they will. They will.
Don't generalize now.
But, you know, some of them, some, not all, some of them are truly crazy and will do it to get attention. But I've found the majority that, you know, that are honest. You know, if somebody's beating on them, they're going to tell you. Especially a female wrestler doesn't strike me as the type that's going to get into a match and get beat up and then go, oh, he beat me.
Yeah. Now, I'm, having said, you know, I was a victim of a falsehood just to make her look good and make me look bad. And, you know, I got played up as the aggressor when I was actually the victim. Not trying to look for sympathy for that or anything, you know, anything like that. Just, you know, pointing out the other side of the story, as it were. As far as this restraining order for, you know, like abuse, okay, I'm willing to give the benefit of the doubt, but I want proof or it didn't happen. Eventually, I want proof or it didn't happen. If he called her a gutter slut or said something else that was rather nasty, that is, you know, that warrants a restraining order based on verbal abuse, well, then why can't you just say it's based on verbal abuse and not abuse? Verbal abuse is still abuse, but still, at the same time, sticks and stones will break your bones. So please don't throw sticks and stones. Now, this whole thing brings right around to the main thing I want to talk about with this whole Kurt Angle situation. And those of you who have kept on top of it have read stuff like crazy on the internet. And a couple of you guys on the show tonight have, I'm sure, read a whole bunch of different things from different sources. I pointed something out, I think, to Rock this morning that I consider yellow journalism, something really very, in my opinion, unprofessional and irresponsible reporting of the story. The headline was, Kurt Angle was arrested for beating up Rock Akon. And that's almost verbatim. Now, the fact of the matter, he was arrested because she called and said he was violating the restraining order, stalking her. He didn't, you know, he wasn't arrested because she said, well, he was, like, kicking me in the back of the kneecaps. Or, you know, stuff like that. My point is, don't believe everything you read, especially on the internet, 100% of the time. There is a lot of crap out there, sensationalistic media, and if you want to know sensationalism, watch Fox when they get into their investigative journalism.
Watch Fox when they get into their election reporting.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, so seriously, people. When you read about things that have happened, don't be afraid to check out extra sources. And if there's anybody out there listening to this who happens to be one of those people that works writes up these news articles for these dirt sheets, okay. Now there's a great big huge stigma attached to the internet, and especially professional wrestling fan sites, you know, like like Wrestle Talk Radio. We're not as subject and have never been as subject to it as, say, like Russell Zone. We have never, ever published a sensationalized headline. We have never, ever written a sensationalized news story. We have never doctored up anything. And as a matter of fact, some of the most potentially damning articles, news articles that were ever posted on the old Russell Talk Radio or the current version of WTR, Wild Talk Radio, were thoroughly investigated and checked out. Being somebody who literally grew up in radio and television right from day one out of the womb until pretty much until now, the one thing that pisses me off besides unions is yellow journalism. It's irresponsible, it's sloppy, it's lazy. It's a bunch of crap designed to get you to go to those websites. And if you enjoy those websites, then all I can tell you is I'm thoroughly disgusted. Completely, totally, and thoroughly disgusted. If any of you write for these things, get a fucking life. You know, end of my mini rant. I don't know if you guys have an opinion on this or not, but there's mine. Those are pieces of my mind, and you're welcome to them.
Well, I am the only one that was kind of like, whoa, what? Kurt Angle stalking Rock Akon? I just wanted to get that out there.
I tend to go toward more credible news sources. I usually find sites that are very good about making sure their stories are legitimate. I'll check things like WrestleView for news, and they even make a comment where there are message boards that are dedicated to trying to prank the dirt sheets and trying to put down these false news items. And there are a lot of websites that fall for them very easily because of the rush to make the first big breaking news announcement. They're dirt websites. You know, the whole point is to be the first one to get something out there. So a lot of these stories get spread and inflamed very quickly for no more reason than trying to get in there first. And they don't really care about journalism, they care about the attention. No, and that's... I can't respect it.
Yeah, you know, these sites that are absolutely inundated with advertising all over the fucking place, with pop-ups and pop-unders and redirects, and, you know, a page shows up, you know, click here to skip this ad, that doesn't work until you're forced to see the ad for at least 45 seconds, so you can't get away from it. These people are trying to make their living by doing anything they can to get as much traffic as possible to their website. Yeah, sure, we've got advertising on Wild Talk Radio, and there's a couple of banners here and there. But all that does, you know, like every time you guys come and check out the website, you click on a banner, maybe we get 10 cents. You come to the website and you see the banner, maybe we get a penny. It takes forever for that to pile up, but when it finally does pay out, it does help pay for the hobby that is Wild Talk Radio. And let's face it, this is a hobby. It's an expensive hobby. It costs me a lot of money every single month to keep this website up and running. And that's before any work gets done on the website, whether I'm doing anything or Rock's doing anything or anybody else is doing anything to tweak the website. Okay? And people like that give blog writers or people who are absolutely honestly earnest about doing this because it's a passion for them. Everybody is painted now with the same brush, you know, like internet dirt sheets, internet sites or scuzzy sites, and all these people posting blogs or scum and all that other stuff. And we're all painted with a bad brush because of it. And I, for one, happen to be sick of it. And that's probably one of the main reasons why I'm showing such, you know, such passion for this irresponsible bunch of bullshit that we see.
Mm-hmm. Angry Timmy, not good.
So
yeah, I don't think anyone's going to sit here and go, what? Stop being bitch. You know, journalism's great.
Yeah, there you go. There's my mini rant over for the day. It's just about time we wrap everything up. We're going to take a quick look at SummerSlam coming up next week, isn't it? Is it next week or the week after? I keep forgetting.
Next week.
It is next week. Summerfest.
Yeah, Summerfest. All of you, those of you tuned in right now or listening to the archives, you definitely want to check out Wrestle Talk Radio next Sunday night and get the best of the best of the best of the best. The real unbiased reporting of SummerSlam, if you will.
Summerfest.
Yes. What do you guys what do you guys think about the card shaping up really quick for next Sunday night?
I think that's everybody looking for the card.
No, I noticed there's no U.S. title match.
Not yet.
Not yet, but you know what? It is kind of... You know, I miss the days when the second-tier title, you know, meant something. You know, you'd have a feud for the IC title. And hell, even the European title. I miss the days when, you know, people would have contendership matches. Yeah, there was one for the IC title recently, and I am glad to see that the IC title is getting, you know, billing on one of the biggest pay-per-views of the year. But the U.S. title needs to be there, too.
Okay, well, why don't we just take a really quick look at everything that is ready to go so far for Summerfest next week. And as I scroll up on the instant message client, but that's just a waste of time because everybody keeps typing and it keeps shifting on me all the time, so I'm having a hard time getting all the matches. But let's start off at the top for the IC title. We got Rey Mysterio versus Dolph Ziggler. We're going to do a little bit of a quick prediction round. Don't get in depth. Don't use 10 words when two will do. Just tell me who your pick is for the winner. Rey Mysterio versus Dolph Ziggler. Spug, go.
Apparently he doesn't need two words.
Okay, I think Spug is gone. Mace.
Rey Mysterio.
All right. Omega.
Rey Mysterio, Ziggler, not even close.
Not even close. Will.
Yeah, they keep pushing him, so it looks like it could be Ziggler.
All right. Leaving it up to me because we don't know what happened to Spug. I'm going to actually pick Dolph Ziggler. They're starting to give him a push, and I say he wins, but he wins dirty. Next matchup on the card so far, DX versus Legacy. Okay. Omega, you first.
DX. I don't think there's the slightest bit of dispute there.
Boom.
Are you ready?
Will.
Oh, it should be Legacy. Who it will be, DX.
Mace.
DX throwing Legacy into a bin and sending him OVW.
Okay. I'm going to say Legacy actually beats DX, and they go on a little mini feud back and forth against each other. It's time for those two, with their final, you know, farewell tour of DX, to say goodbye to everybody, meaning they need to have entertaining skits and matches and stuff like that, but they need to do the job for everybody as they leave the territory, which is, you know, the time-honored tradition. If you're leaving the territory, you do the job. So they're pushing the young kids, and Legacy goes over.
Spug, defend your man crush.
Wow, you must be really jerking it.
Oh, Will.
He's probably back on World of Warcraft.
Yeah,
I went at it.
Okay. So the next matchup, we got Big Show and Chris Jericho versus Crime Time. Starting off with Mace.
Like to see Crime Time? No, it's going to be Jericho and Big Show.
Will.
I like seeing Crime Time get a push, but it's going to be Jericho Big Show.
Okay. Spug, are you back with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Aha. See, I could tell because I heard the lighter.
Indeed.
Okay, so really quickly, who are you picking, Mysterio or Ziggler?
Probably Ziggler.
All right, DX versus Legacy.
DX.
All right, Big Show and Jericho versus Crime Time.
Crime Time.
All right, Omega, did I miss you?
I missed you too, Tim.
Heard later. Who are you picking for Show and Y2J versus Crime Time?
Crime Time needs a championship win, but it ain't going to be against Show and Jericho.
Jericho. There you go.
Jericho.
Yeah, I think Jericho is going to beat Crime Time. Don't see anything happening with the belts at this point in time. Next matchup. Everybody's favorite bitch, John Cena, versus a really good heel turn performance, I mean, by Randy Orton. So let's start off with this time Spug.
Can we drop a nuclear bomb on the arena at that point and blow them both
you
up?
Have to pick one. You have to pick one as a winner. I didn't say you had to pick one to like.
I have to pick one. Unfortunately, I think it's going to be John Cena.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, Will.
Let it be Orton. For God's sakes, let it be Orton.
Omega.
It'll be Orton, and it'll be dirty as hell.
All right, Mace.
It'll be Cena with a Superman comeback.
I think Cena will have a couple of Superman comebacks, but I'm going to pick Orton. And, of course, the last match so far at this point in time, Punk versus Hardy. Omega, we're starting with you.
Going to gamble that Hardy's going to stick around for one more month and give him the win.
Okay, Will.
I'm conflicted on this one. I honestly can't give an opinion.
Really? One abstention? Holy shit. Mace.
I'd say Punker.
All right, Spug.
I am going to say it's going to be Jeff Hardy, because I think that I think that Jeff's probably going to stick around for another month. And then when he comes back, the next pay-per-view is going to be Jeff and Punk again, and Punk is going to win, and then Jeff is going to be on hiatus for a while. So Punk, Jeff this one, Punk the next one.
All right, I have to go with the general consensus, which is, well, it turns out that my vote, I guess, makes it the general consensus. Punk does not go over. Jeff Hardy retains just barely, and we are going to see Matt Hardy instrumental in the win.
I think that works.
There you go. And those are our picks, and we'll find out on the next edition of Wrestle Talk Radio if we got it down or if we don't. And we'll see how everybody did with their picks right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget that Wrestle Talk Radio will be live immediately following the pay-per-view next Sunday night. So make sure you join us because we'll have some more fun. And we'll break down the pay-per-view and talk some more trash and other crap. And if you want to send a picture of yourself holding a Wild Talk Radio sign, you don't have to be naked doing it.
We would prefer it, though.
Yeah, we don't mind. It's not like it's a big deal. I'm just saying, you know, like the commercial says, if you want to do it, sure, you're going to win automatically. But you don't have to. There you go. Everybody, that's Wrestle Talk Radio for this week. Sunday, August the 16th. We'll catch you next Sunday night. Have yourselves a great week. And don't forget to check out all the programming right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Bye, the shirt.
Been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.